It's good to be in his house with you this morning. We pray this message will be a blessing to you and that the power of the Holy Spirit would use God's word to bring the dead to life as he did with the man we will be focusing on this morning and our time here together this morning. Although our time here together may be short, God is always in control. We'll be turning this morning to numerous passages of Scripture that God later led this man to write after his conversion. We will begin sharing a little bit about his background. Yes, I'm referring to Saul of Tarsus. And our pastor spoke about this chapter that we're going to be looking into this morning back in July. I'm not going to be re-preaching his message. Yes, I will be touching on a little bit here and there. You can't preach a passage without touching on some of it. And the background of Saul of Tarsus is one thing that you'll see a lot of similarities in. But I will go a different direction this morning as well. We first hear about Saul at the stoning of Stephen. In Acts chapter 9, if we would turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, we hear about the stoning of Stephen, and there was a man, a young man, that they laid the coats or their outer garments at his feet. His name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. What was happening and happening and taking place is what Saul desired to take place. He wanted to see this one who was of the way stoned to death for what he was preaching and what he was teaching about Jesus Christ and the risen Savior. He did not want anything to do with that. Saul was an early persecutor of the church at Jerusalem and caused the Lord's church to be scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 8 verse 3 states, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women and committed them to prison." Saul was proud of his heritage and background. Saul was born in the city of Tarsus in Cilicia, which is modern-day Turkey. His parents were devout Jews and Roman citizens, as was Saul. He studied under Gamaliel, a Pharisee and the doctor of the law in Jerusalem. Saul was proud that he was a Pharisee and that he was circumcised the eighth day and of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. A student of studying the law of the fathers and very zealous toward God. This brings us to Acts chapter 9, where we see God's amazing grace manifested in the life and testimony of the one who was brought to realize that he was a chief of sinners. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered to the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence today, Lord, thanking you for this beautiful day that you've provided for us to be in your house. Father, hide me behind your Spirit. Let your words do the talking, because my words are nothing outside of God's words and his Spirit, you know, and his guidance. So let your holy word speak to your people this morning. Father, I pray that you would be with every family and home represented. There are many people that are on our prayer request list and on our hearts and minds, Lord. And we pray that you would be with each and every family. Pray that you would be with Harry and Loretta as they travel. Pray that you would be with the family of his brother that passed away. We pray that you would be with Kathy Bowling as she is recovering in the hospital from having neck surgery. So we just pray that you would minister and heal there. We pray, Father, for all those requests that were spoken of this morning, that you would work in each and every situation. And we pray, Father, for your guidance and direction in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Saul's mission, as we see in verses 1 through 3, and as we saw in chapter 8, Saul's mission was to destroy those people of the way, those who believed Jesus Christ was the Messiah and the Son of God. Saul had the authority from the high priest to go to the synagogues in Damascus and capture those of the way, also known as the followers of Christ, and bring them bound into Jerusalem. But God, rich in mercy, hath other plans for Saul. Jesus stops Saul dead in his tracks, and for the first time, Saul discovers his true self. And what an awful sinner he is by nature. This morning, let's look at man's natural condition through the scriptures written by Saul, who becomes known as Paul the Apostle. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll go through a few of these books together. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul had all of his hopes built on that law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He lived for trying to obey the law of the Old Testament. That was his livelihood. And he studied under the best leaders in Gamaliel. Turn now with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. And we see, prior in that passage we just read, but under the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law says, that we are guilty sinners. And that we need something more and something better than the law that we cannot obey faithfully. And it says, if we've broken one commandment, we've broken them all. And we are guilty of sin. Romans chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, over the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment that was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. These passages that we're reading explains and displays the grace of God and where man's natural condition is, that we are under the law of sin and that we will be judged without grace. Without the grace of God, we stand in condemnation. But thank God, he saves. We sung this morning songs about salvation. God is a saving God, and he saves sinners. And I am so thankful for that, and I know you are. Thankful that God has saved your soul. But if you are here this morning and you are not saved, this message is pointed at you. Listen carefully as we continue. Turn now with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And we'll stop reading there. Turn with me to another passage in 1 Corinthians, and it's just one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm here to tell you this morning, we do not become sinners when we sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature. We are born dead in our trespasses and sins. But thank God for stopping us dead in our tracks. Because of his amazing love and abounding grace to save and redeem wretched sinners like you and I, and like Saul, God's grace reigns. And the love of God and the shed blood of Christ overpowers sin and death, and brings the dead to life. Turn back with me again to our text in Acts chapter 9. Acts 9. Beginning in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The presence of the Son of God came down from heaven, shining brighter than the noonday sun on Saul that day. This light was so bright that it blinded Saul's eyes. When Saul hears this voice that says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the goads. His world is turned upside down. He realizes for the first time that instead of being a servant of God, that he's actually doing the exact opposite of what he actually should be doing. He's actually an enemy of God. seeing his true self and that natural condition, Saul becomes a broken man and with a contrite heart. And he cries out in total surrender, realizing that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is God. He realizes for the first time, and he cries out, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Saul is now seeing, because of the grace and love of Christ, for the first time in his life. But with his physical eyes, he's temporarily blinded. But he's actually seeing for the first time in his life the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of God's amazing grace and majesty, Saul is transformed into newness of life. Let's read together one of my favorite chapters that Paul wrote and recorded in Romans chapter 5. If you would, turn back and let's go back to Romans and read chapter 5. The one we're referring to here and have been talking about is the writer of all these letters and all these scriptures that we've been reading, and that is the Apostle Paul, who was Saul. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now receive the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so Abel is the free gift. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of one, as of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That passage speaks for itself about the superabounding reign of grace on behalf of the sinner. Let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 1 and read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Perhaps these two passages are possibly two of my favorite passages in God's Word is Romans 5 and Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us all in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of time, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This passage of Scripture and the ones we just read speak about how God is working in the lives of sinners. And the only way that sinners can be saved is through acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And your sins need to be forgiven. And they can only be forgiven by placing them on the cross of Calvary and covering them with the blood of Jesus Christ on that blessed cross. Turn back with me now to Acts chapter 9. Acts 9, let's read again verses 6 through 20. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there were certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias. And to him he said to the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered to the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Here we see the life of Saul has been changed by the Holy God, by Jesus Christ. His plans are changed. The persecuted, or the persecutor rather, is going to become the persecuted. Saul, who was going after the Christians, is now a Christian, and people will be coming after him. But Saul will remain faithful to God, and God will remain faithful to him. That's the main thing. God will use him and continue to work on him, and Saul, in obedience, will become one of the greatest missionaries in the world. Acts chapter 26 and verses 15 through 18 adds a little more detail about how God's plans to use Paul in the ministry to spread the gospel around the world. So turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and let's just read verses 15 through 18. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Then Jesus says, "But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul becomes a great minister of the gospel, being led by God and the Holy Spirit. He is used to bring the gospel message to the multitudes around the world. Many are saved. Thousands are saved. Probably millions, possibly millions are saved under Paul's ministries. And we have God using him to record a large portion of the New Testament in which we glean from today and we are blessed with. Philippians, and we don't need to turn there, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 13, Paul declared these two truths that help carry him through life. One is, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." The second truth is, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We need to remember those in our lives. Whatever state we're in, therewith to be content. And we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. Although there are many passages that Paul wrote about the fact that God is fully vested in his children's lives, we just want to look at two of them found in the book of Romans, and that's in the same chapter. So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Just read two passages in Romans chapter 8, and then we'll conclude. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:28-39. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see how God is invested in the lives of his people? He will never leave them. He will never forsake them. He's totally and fully vested in your lives. And I am so thankful for that. Because I wander from him so often, but he never wanders from me. God made the perfect plan for our salvation and is fully invested in our sanctification. God's love was poured out upon the human race through his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He sacrificed his best so that the dead could be brought to life in him. There is nothing you can do outside of grace. There's nothing you would do outside of grace. God made the way and the only way for the sinner to be reconciled to God. Jesus is that salvation that lost sinners so desperately need. If you are here this morning and have not yet been saved by the grace of God, but perhaps maybe you're like Saul, that's kicking against and prodding against the Holy Spirit at this time in your life, it's time to surrender. Acknowledge that you are a rebellious sinner and ask for God's forgiveness and amazing grace in your life. It took the same innocent blood to cover the sins of Saul as it did to cover my sins and the sins of all who come to him in faith. You need the Lord. You need the Lord.